Welcome to the Masterful Art of Self-Care, hosted by Neetu by Wallace. Thank you for joining me on another episode of the Masterful Art of Self-Care, episode 39. And today is a 15-minute shorty. It's been a while since I have done one of these, but I wanted to do an episode talking about establishing your baseline. And so if you follow me on Instagram, if you don't, my Instagram handle is selfcarephysio. But a couple of, posts a while ago, I talked about establishing your baseline. And I, had heard of baseline. I don't exactly remember where, but I had read about, baseline, and it was more in a physical therapy term. And for a person to have an understanding of where it is that they started out before they got to where they are right now. And this was more in reference to strength-wise. So that way there's a better understanding of, where they were before strength-wise, where they are now, where they need to go. But in order for you to have that understanding and to work on that progression, it's important to know where you started. And that's by understanding what your baseline is, where you're starting from. And I love this term, and I think that it can really apply to anything, and especially more to what my passion, what my focus is working with women in the spectrum of motherhood. So everywhere from preconception, before you even consider, giving birth or getting pregnant, all the way up to menopause. So really covering that whole spectrum of motherhood. And then diving deeper into that particular topic, definitely pelvic floor health, I feel, is a huge part of it. And then continuing on into just having self-care, understanding how to integrate self-care as a mother, and especially self-care for the pelvic floor, because that is a part of our body that tends to not have much focus on. And especially as women, we don't have much literacy or understanding of what those parts of our bodies do, what they are, what their names are, its physiology, even what it smells like, what's normal, what's not normal. And then we got pregnant and then have babies and push babies out or have a C-section and then not have a full understanding of what's going on, what has changed, but we don't even know where we were before we even got pregnant. We don't even know where or what's going on with our bodies and really in tune with what's going on down there. We're relying so much on healthcare providers or doctors telling us this is what's happening, and we don't have much awareness, we're really in touch with what's happening. And then that just, I feel, is a cataclysm, continues, all the way up until menopause, and then we are struck with, osteoporosis or incontinence issues or prolapse issues, and we're like wondering what happened and we're thinking that it's just because of our age when it's actually much more than that. So I feel that establishing our baseline is really important, and I want to hopefully be that voice for that in this particular population of women. And PT, who I really respect and admire, Dr. Julie Weeb, actually just last week on her website had posted a really short 6-minute video saying the same thing. And I was really excited and happy just because as a newly graduated physical therapist and soon to be licensed physical therapist wanting to specialize in pelvic floor health, I really hadn't been hearing much of other pelvic floor PTs or maybe even PTs with a specialization in women's health and maybe even men's health, talking about understanding our baseline. And one of the things that I loved that she said is that women really need to have an understanding at a young age, where they are with their bodies, what's going on with their bodies. And, she gave a really great example of diastasis recti, and that we can avoid and prevent a lot of what's going on right now. And there's a lot of talk of trying to fix our DR and, what we can do to go and prevent it and to try to bring it back, especially after pregnancy. And I think that there's a lot of really great conversation around that. And I think that there's also a realization that in some cases, you know, it's not so much about how wide the split is. It's also more about the integrity of the muscles and how strong they are, and also the functionality of those muscles. So even if there has been, you know, a split, and every woman who will get pregnant will have some type of widening of their rectus abdominis. That's a given, because obviously the body needs to create space in order for the baby to be able to grow. So it's not so much about like how can we bring it back together and using cosmetics, and I don't want to say like cosmetics like face, but more surgical cosmetics in order to, you know, regain that that closure. But it's more about the function, and can it maintain its integrity and its strength and its tensegrity and mobility when you're having to lift your baby up, or if you want to get back to running, or if you're doing CrossFit and having to lift weights. So it's like answering a lot of those questions. And one of the things that I really love that she said is that a woman, before she's even pregnant, you know, maybe even in her teens, might already have a DR width of like 2 centimeters, or like it's usually like 2 finger widths, as I think is the norm. And anything beyond that, you know, is where it's considered to be something of consideration, where you might want to do some work around creating some closure, or, you know, working on the integrity of your abdominal muscles. But if a teenager, you know, or she's like in her early 20s, has a DR width that's maybe 2.5 centimeters, and that's been like that her whole entire life, and then she ends up getting pregnant, you know, having going through her pregnancy, and then after her pregnancy, then she ends up having a DR width of like 3 centimeters, then it's considered like, oh my gosh, we need to do all this work in order to try to close her back up to her normal. But then how do we even know what her normal is if she doesn't even know? And if we measure that beforehand, and if she has an understanding of, you know, where her body is already, then she can see, and then she can also be a better advocate for herself and letting her doctors know, letting her midwife know, you know, other people, healthcare providers in her life, like, oh, well, it's only a 0.5 centimeter difference. So yes, there's work that can be done, but it's not a huge urgency or something that needs to be cosmetically corrected. So I think that it is extremely important to really have an understanding of what your baseline is. And as I said, you know, the importance of it is like knowing where you are right now. And even if you're in your 30s and you've already had children, you know, I think understanding, okay, where are you starting off from right now? So that then as you reach your 50s, your 60s, then you have a better understanding. It's like, okay, I've had these issues in my 30s. And as I approach my 50s, like, oh, I started to notice a little bit of leaking, and really have a true understanding of why this is happening. And then I think, like, in a way, you can also just be more proactive as well. So they're definitely, by understanding our past, you know, looking at our history, we can understand where we are right now and have a better guideline as to where we want to be moving to when we reach our future as we get older. And I, you know, talked a little bit about why this is needed more, and I think it's just to decrease our misconceptions about our body. And I, as I mentioned earlier, the example that Dr. Julie Weeb had mentioned before, and just allowing us to be better advocates for ourselves, because I think especially as women, and especially during this vulnerable time of pregnancy and then postpartum, where it's even more vulnerable because we're having to take care of a little one, and then our bodies have just been thrown through so much, you know, whether it's through the process of giving birth and then hormonally, and just the changes of being a mother, whether it's a first-time mother or a fifth-time mother, and the dynamics of our relationship is just so many things. And when we can at least be really clear on our bodies, then I think it really, really allows us to have that self-awareness, allows us to really be better advocates for ourselves too. And I want to address, like, why isn't this happening? And I think that there are lots of reasons, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I think it's just that lack of body literacy, and of, you know, just from the moment that we are girls, that we're shamed on touching ourselves, on having an understanding of our bodies. And I think also that lack of really relevant sex education, I think, is also lacking. If I think back to what my sex education was, and I went to a Catholic school, and it was very, very basic, this is your vagina, and this is where the babies come out. And because, again, it was a Catholic school, so it definitely talked a lot about abstinence and didn't talk about different methods of birth control, because obviously having sex wasn't condoned. But even at least the physiology, the anatomy of the female anatomical structures wasn't even really discussed. And I don't even think that, they usually just show the a sagittal view. So kind of like if you were to cut your body in half, they show that aspect, but not the, the view that if you look in an anatomy book of just what, not the inside, but even just the outside of our body parts, the labia minora, labia majora, the inner, the outer lips, what the clitoris looks like, what the hood of the clitoris looks like, what's the vulva, all of that, I don't think was ever discussed, so we don't, as young girls growing up and then starting to explore our sexuality, don't even know what these parts of our bodies are, with their name, what are their proper names for them, and you might even still give them, the baby names or baby terms that were given to us when we were little kids. So I think that is stemming, that's creating that lack of awareness, that lack of education, and lack of us being able to know what our baseline is, to know what our normal is, to know, when we are on our cycle. And, what's a normal bleed supposed to look like? What is a normal discharge for us? It's not going to be the same for everybody, but what is normal discharge? What's a normal color for us based on where we are in our cycle? All of those things I think are so important and are very, very lacking. And I think that we as women really need to work on establishing that for ourselves and then definitely for the next generation. So what can we do about it? And I think that looking at, for those who are not yet moms, whether you choose to be a mom or not, you might be in your teens if you're listening to this, or in your early 20s and just really working on, establishing your career. And I think that's awesome. But I think that having, again, establishing your baseline, understanding what your normal is key to having a better, just even for your better sexual health, I think is important. So starting off with, talking with your OB, your OBGYN, and hopefully you have a really good relationship with them. If you don't feel comfortable talking to them, then that's a problem. You should be able to have a healthcare provider who you feel comfortable, discussing issues with, and hopefully that they are open to listening to you and offering advice, or at least providing you with resources if they can't answer those questions for you. So definitely seek that out if you don't have OBGYN who you trust, who you can rely on, who you can ask questions with, then definitely seek that out. Next, I would recommend to purchase a mirror, so a handheld mirror if you don't have one, and spend some time getting reacquainted with your anatomy, so specifically your sexual anatomy, so the anatomical structures that are in between your legs, and really understand what it looks like. Know what the names are. And I think even knowing what it looks like is important, because especially if you are sexually active and if things start to feel a little wonky or things start to look a little different, then at least you know, like, you're on the up and up of like, okay, something looks a little off, or, I'm noticing a little bit more redness than there used to be, or, a lesion or whatever that may be, before things start to get, worse, whatever their symptoms are. But at least, you're starting to tune in with any changes that might be occurring. I would also recommend looking at your cervix. There's a really great website called The Cervix Project, and years ago I found out about them, and I purchased a kit that included a handheld mirror, had some lube, had a plastic speculum as well. And I've never, you know, I still have it in my drawer and I haven't done it, and I want to eventually. But to actually use the speculum on yourself and be able to take a look at what your cervix looks like. And I think that can be such an empowering tool and empowering exercise to do, because, you know, for a lot of us, we'll lie down in those tables in our OB's office to go and get our annual pelvic exam and have a really cold metal speculum inserted in us and not have an understanding of what it is that they're looking at. You know, what is it that they're opening? How are they doing it? What is it that they're assessing? What are they looking at? And then something that you can actually do for yourself, I think, is hugely important. You can actually see what your cervix looks like. Know what they call the cervix os, you know, so that's the opening of your cervix. And notice the difference, what it looks like when, based on wherever you are in your cycle. So that's also something I recommend, the cervix project. And then, again, just touching and looking at yourself without shaming and just noticing. So, you know, when you're out of the shower, you're fully naked, looking at yourself, and not with like this criticism and not with shame, but just noticing like, oh, okay, my breasts are, you know, a little bit more tender, you know, this week because of where I am in my cycle. Noticing any changes, all of that I think is so important. I think that very much we go through our day and we're just going through our routine of, you know, showering, you know, putting lotion on, putting our clothes on without really, you know, allowing ourselves to touch ourselves in a loving way, in an exploratory way. And I think we need to do more of that. So for postpartum moms, again, I think a lot of what I said for, you know, those who are not yet moms, who are in their teens or early 20s, a lot of that applies, you know, as well. So I would recommend that if you are newly postpartum, probably not doing, you can definitely look at the cervix project, but probably not doing a speculum exam on yourself yet. So I would wait a while. Definitely also talk with your healthcare provider before doing that. But that's something you can definitely do down the road and have an understanding of, okay, how does my vagina look? The changes in your vulva, you know, the positioning of your cervix, the opening of your cervix. So all of that will definitely change, you know, with pregnancy and after pregnancy. I would also recommend seeing a pelvic floor PT. So I've mentioned this before. I'm obviously a big proponent of it, that if you're experiencing any type of pelvic pain, experiencing any type of, you know, pain with sex, pelvic floor PT, a really good, reputable, knowledgeable, empathetic pelvic floor PT can be very, very helpful in dealing with a lot of those musculoskeletal issues that you're experiencing in your pelvic floor. And lastly, I would also recommend, or actually two more things, I would recommend journaling. I think that as new moms, you know, again, whether it's a first-time mom, fifth-time mom, that lots of things change, obviously, with motherhood. And sleep deprivation is definitely one of them. And I think it can cause us to very, very much be out of touch with our bodies. So journaling, you know, whenever you're able to, whether it's just for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, about things that you're noticing that are changing, you know, in your body, mentally, emotionally, even, being able to write it down so at least you have something that you can always go back to. Because again, I think it's important. We want to really work on establishing our baseline, understanding what is our normal, you know, at this moment. You know, it could be our normal, you know, at 6 weeks postpartum, and it's going to be very different than what our new normal is going to be 6 months postpartum. So writing those things down so that way you can always go back to just see what things have changed, what has shifted, what is still the same. And lastly, I think talking to your partner. So talking to your spouse, your partner, and let them know, like, hey, this is something that's important to me and I want you, because they're the other people in your life who are also, you know, noticing your body and noticing the changes, and let them know, like, hey, this is something that's important to me. And that if you notice something that is changing or that's different or an odor's off or whatever it may be, that there also can be another conduit for you to kind of be a self-reflection as to what might be going on, any changes that might be happening in your body as well. And then lastly, talking to at least the women, and so for those of you who are moms and who have kids, then I would recommend also starting this off with your kids. I think it's so important and that you want to start early. And a lot of the biggest thing, I'm not saying that you want to do everything, but I think the biggest is that we focus so much on what our kids are learning in school. And there's, focus on having them learn their ABCs and their numbers and how to, add and subtract and read, and which I think is obviously, yes, important and needed. But I think that there's definitely a lack on or focus on helping them learn more about their body. And that doesn't, and, yes, they go to PE and they get to, learn a little bit. And, I would say not even really until high school, maybe middle school for some schools, but high school where they really take an anatomy class, if that's what they choose to take. Like that was the case for me. I took biology, but very, very little was covered, on a lot of these aspects that I'm talking about. And not until anatomy, physiology, which I took in high school and then again in college, did I really have a better understanding of how my body worked. And I wouldn't even say I even had a real understanding. It's just like, okay, these are what the different parts of my body are. But physiology-wise, I still didn't understand my cycle. I didn't understand how it worked. And it wasn't, unfortunately, until in my late 20s, after I had my miscarriage, that I had this is actually what's going on with my hormones, on each day and why this is happening. And when, this hormone drops, this is what's happening. I really had no clue, no understanding. And so I think it really needs to start at an early age. And especially for those moms who have, young girls, who have daughters, I think you need to start talking about that early on. Make sure that they know the names of the parts of their body. Don't just call it your coochie or, the place where you poo-poo or pee out of. Yes, you can use those names, as they're babies, but then as they get older and they start to just want to explore and they're questioning, then yes, I think you should use the name vulva. You should use the name vagina, their anus, all of those things. I think it's important for them to know what those parts of their body are because it just gives them more, it gives them an empowerment that, yes, I know my body, and also stop shaming. I think that there is a lot of shaming for girls and boys on touching themselves. And I think that's, again, part of that self-exploration. I know that as babies, when they're in the womb, they're touching themselves and not as in a dirty pleasuring themselves. It's they're exploring because everything is so new to them. They're doing this in the womb. They're doing this as babies, just in the same way that they're touching their feet for the first time and amazed at their fingers and their toes. They're going to do the same thing, with their bodies and with their penis and with their vulva. And they're going to touch it and they're going to notice that's going to be a different sensation than when I touch my elbow, because there's different nerve endings or there's more nerve endings. So there's going to be more sensation. And you realize oh, wow, that's pleasurable. That actually feels really good. And I think that's not a bad thing for them to have an understanding when something actually feels good. And I mean, this can be a further discussion, but, talking about pleasure and how we demean pleasure. And I've talked about this, in previous podcast episodes about guilty pleasure, but that pleasure shouldn't be seen as something that's guilty. So again, I can go on a tangent about that. But yes, start early. Have conversations with your children I've already started to have at least one conversation with my daughter about where babies come from. And I think, yes, water it down as needed, but don't water it down so much that it becomes a fairy tale version, that it's a stork who comes, to deliver the babies. But again, for even boys, for them to have an understanding of how women's bodies work, I think it just provides more literacy for them And then more understanding as these boys grow up to be young men, to have more respect, you know, for the women that they encounter, that they date, that they have relationships with. I think it's just super important. So I'm a big proponent for self-exploration, whether as a young kid, you know, as a young adult, as an older adult. You know, that's part of who we are, is for us to be able to always continue to explore and learn about ourselves in new ways. And with each decade that we go through, because we're always changing, we're always evolving. So that's my piece about establishing your baseline. So I hope that that provided, or at least gave you some insight and made you think about what are some ways that you can start to work on establishing your baseline. Again, you know, there's lots of things that you can do. I mean, it can cover like nutritionally, you know, digestive wise, you know, musculoskeletally, you know, on your strength. But, you know, right now I'm just focusing more on, you know, at least with regards to pelvic floor health and the self-care aspect of that part of our body. So if you have any questions, definitely feel free to reach out. It's something that I want to help to establish even more, and something that I'm hoping to encourage as part of my practice. So thank you so much for listening. So thanks for listening to this episode of The Masterful Art of Self-Care. So for more interviews, inspiring stories, and opinion pieces like this one, where I'm helping to bring the neglected and seldom talked about parts of our body to the forefront of self-care, consider subscribing to our channel on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or Spotify. Do you have an interesting story to share? If so, I would love it if you can shoot me an email at tia@themasterfulartofselfcare.com, or you can also direct message me at selfcarephysio on Instagram. If you like what you hear, consider supporting this podcast. You can always visit the link on the show notes to help us and make a donation. There are a lot of new things happening, and I want you to stay in the know. So consider signing up for our monthly newsletter that is available to you to read up on upcoming podcast episodes, blog posts, and to learn about self-care and its relevancy through other healthcare disciplines. And all of that is available at The Masterful Art of Self-Care. Let's help make self-care more accessible and down to earth. Thank you again for listening. We'll be right back.